So welcome to the Meaningful Jobs podcast season three. I'm your host, Adrian, and today we're extremely honored to be joined by the CMO of Vista, Matteo Atti. How are you, Matteo? How are you doing?
I'm very good, and congratulations for the accent. You said my name perfect. Well, it's
I
not happens every
caught
day.
note of it because your colleague told me your name before. So I made sure not to
Oh,
pronounce it the wrong way. But I hope you're doing well. And I thought it would be a great opportunity for the audience to get to know you a little bit better because it's not often they get to hear directly from a chief marketing officer of such a large firm. So, can you tell us a little bit about your career trajectory? So, how you got to this stage?
wow. It all started many years ago studying communications and branding. That is where it all started. And the dream was to understand how people communicate in the sense of creating value and creating meaning with their world, with their words, and really trying to explore how meaning is generated across people and how do we actually mean the same thing. And so it started with a lot of semiotics and the analysis of how communication happens between humans. And I think that has been the path I've been taking all my life, trying then to define it, branding as a way of identifying with a brand, identifying with a company, or using a product not just for its functional value, but for its identification and personal meaning. So
Would you
that's my
say,
journey. So I went through fashion, telecommunications, and now private aviation.
I see. Would you say you figured out your career path from a really young age? Because it seems like you have a really clear idea of getting into communications, from a young stage.
I'm a very curious person, and I change my mind on average 15 times a minute. But a few things were very clear. I was always fascinated by human beings. One of my first passions was theater. And again, it's how do we create something that delivers emotions to people? And so in that sense, it was. I looked into marketing because to me, it was a powerful storytelling tool that devised that impacted the daily life and not just the cultural aspect, not just the educational aspects, but the day-to-day life. My family is a family of doctors, and I was
Well,
not
quite
part of being a
different, I would
doctor.
say.
And I said, can I make people happier? Can I make people smile? Can I make people enjoy their lives a little bit more? And that is something I've done by coming into the world of luxury, I think, because ultimately it's about adding value and adding pleasurable moments to everybody's life.
Yeah, I feel like, being a doctor and being a marketer are two totally different things. And with you being in communications so early on, you did mention though you switch, quite a few industries within the field of marketing. Can you walk us through that?
I started in Gucci. That was my first job during university. I hadn't even finished. And what I loved was that it was this new way of doing marketing. It was the days when the big brands were starting to be created, so new corporate identity systems, new global systems. And I learned in this company, I learned my trade. It was not, university gave me a mindset, but really it was the explorations that we were doing every day with Tom Ford and the team into how to reinvent the world of Gucci for a new generation that taught me the basics of how to shoot an advertising campaign, which models to use, how to present it, how to go to press, how to create catalogs, how to create shops, and really the multitude of touch points that you can use to create this beautiful brand universe. And that is what I enjoyed so much in fashion. But I think the thing that I liked the most after quite a few explorations was not only the traditional marketing, but the retail marketing part. And retail marketing for me was the moment where the brand meets clients, meets prospective clients, meets actual clients, meets loyal clients. And that is where the magic happens, right? When the receiver of your message meets the people and the messages, and together something happens. We create a meaning.
Well, wow, it seems like a really complex thing that you turned marketing into. So yeah, I was really fascinated by the difference that you talked about, you know, between like retail customers. So, you know, can you tell us how you then applied your knowledge and moved on to another industry?
If you think about private aviation now, it's again a big moment where an expensive product meets a client and the client is inside the product. And at the same time, we have our own hospitality element, our cabin hosts, our pilots, our client services teams, meeting every day with the best possible clients in the world and trying to create something that even the people who are exposed to the best of the best can go, wow, you really know what you're doing here. You're really creating something that has no parallel in the world. And I think that is what allowed me to move from one company to the other, because it's all about the relationship with the customer. It's that human element of going respectfully into a conversation and trying to add value for the other person.
How difficult would you say it is, you know, to have learned your trade, you know, in one industry and then take the leap of faith and then move on to another industry? Do you think, you know, marketing might be one of the areas that might be easier to do this, or is it equally difficult?
I do believe that. I do believe that, because if you're curious about product, as soon as you learn about a product, you want to know how people tick, how people react to it, etc. But the way you look at a product is, how can I make it fit in people's lives? And the approach is always, I need a meaningful insight from a customer, why they do what they do, and then I need to try and fit my product into the reality. If today you are celebrating your birthday and you want to go on a private jet, why not? If tomorrow you are in a difficult situation because of macro politics and you're trying to escape a country, we can talk about that. We can be meaningful in extremely different situations, which require us not to be a monolithic brand, but to be always in the listening mode. So in that sense, whichever product you take, you should always be in a listening mode. And those are the transferable skill sets that a marketing person can bring to different industries.
Yeah, I think you mentioned a great point about trying to fit meaning into a customer, you know, knowing what they want and then conjuring up a truthful story that will capture their attention and satisfy their needs. How difficult do you think that is to learn at first and then master it?
I think a lot of people tend to focus too much on external researches. And if you do not instead spend some time with your clients, it's going to be very difficult to understand the subtleties of what really matters. We've known each other for what, 15 minutes, and I know very little about you. Even if we are talking together right now, I'm just answering your questions. I would love to spend some time observing what you do, how you do your job, etc., because then I can see where your eyes dart. Are they looking at the window behind you? Are you looking at how many minutes are passing? What is that matters to you? And I think even you as my client at the moment are only aware of 50% of where your attention is. So spending time in the same environment allows me to understand or to observe where your brain is going, even without realizing it's going there. And that is where you surprise people. That is when you can add something that then they go, oh, you really know me, you really get me. That's always a beautiful moment.
So far you've covered, you know, the most, I guess, exciting and positive aspects, you know, of a marketing career. Can you tell us on the flip side any particular challenges that you faced as a marketer?
Marketing is a very complicated beast. Let's start from marketing in aviation is a 24/7 job. Because the world is constantly moving. We've been through economic crisis, we've been through pandemics, wars, natural catastrophes, strikes, you name it. Every day we review 60,000 data points to check what could be the next potential crisis. And as a marketer, because we embed the voice of the brand, we need to be aware of when to talk and when to stay silent. So we constantly running the new cycle, constantly running what is happening in our client's life, what could be impacted to generate new meaning, because you need to be timely. If you are not participating in the state of the world, you're not a leader. And if you're not participating in the state of the world, you are detached. And there's nothing worse than being detached in the world of marketing. You need to create this, conjuring these moments together, right? These moments of affinity. That is when you say, you know what? I can't say why, but that brand speaks my language, right? So it is very difficult because it's a 24/7 job. It is very difficult because we have customers from all over the world. So of course, it means that I need to try with my team to know about all the cultures. And one thing I always try to do is to get people of all nationalities and all walks of life. We have people that have been working in completely different industries before, and that is great. I have people, we have a team of 40 in marketing, and I think we have at least 17 different nationalities inside it, wow. Even though we work out of 4 offices. And that is enriching because we speak several languages. We have different religions, different political beliefs, different ages. And that means that we can try not to offend anyone.
Which is getting increasingly difficult.
It's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Because the smallest mistake on how you shoot a picture, what kind of message you're sending out, that can make the whole difference. I remember taking pictures of people with their feet up and somebody from Asia calling me and say, absolutely not. That is considered very rude and you cannot show the sole of the feet. I said, absolutely sorry. Then we had moments when we were showing too much skin that wasn't allowed in certain countries. It was just an arm, but of course that was inappropriate in other countries. Then putting objects in pictures that we did not realize had specific meanings in certain cultures because they were attached to certain festivities. And for us, it was just a nice colored object. Yeah. So with creating a diverse environment, we can make sure that we do not hit anyone's sensibilities without realizing, without the intent, because people can misread what you've been trying to say. And it is our fault if that happens, not the reader.
Well, I can assure you that not all Asian cultures get offended if you take a picture of them with their feet upside down. Maybe just certain Asian countries. But I guess my next question is, how do you find this balance between not offending people and, you know, delivering a truthful message? Because sometimes, whether we like it or not, the truth does offend people. So how do you, you know, strike a balance between this?
We are not a highly contentious product. Although there are areas that put the spotlight on us, of course, sustainability being one of the big elephants in the room for private aviation, right? It's carbon footprint and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And if we take this specific example, our idea was, let's not avoid the subject. Mm-hmm. Let's have an opinion on the subject and show our effort to solve it. Because being silent is not an option these days, right? And you need to have to say what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I think by explaining the place we are in and what can be done and showcasing what our actions are more than preaching is the best way forward. You always need to stand by your actions more than saying something. Virtue signaling would be the worst.
Yeah.
Doing something to change things, doing something to be relevant, doing something to show that you are trying to be respectful, that you're trying to support, that you're trying to solve issues. I think that is the most appreciated route to retain that sense of trust, even if we disagree, ultimately. Because me and you might have a completely different viewpoint of the world, but you might still appreciate that I take the time to explain why I'm acting the way I'm acting.
Yeah, I think it ties in really well with my next question, because you mentioned about how difficult sometimes for the aviation industry in particular to avoid talking about sensitive issues like carbon footprint, right? These are the things that you've got to face and you've got to find a way to communicate properly. So, you know, Are there any particular methods in which you use to help you communicate a message in a way that strikes authenticity, but at the same time, maybe not offending people?
If you want to be authentic, you need to prove your point. You need to state what you're doing about it. And there is no better way than to ask people, tell people, this is what I'm doing. If you have better advice, I'm here to listen. And I want your help. Because that is the best way to go around the problem in the sense of being facing each other, into going both on the same side, observing what is outside there, and try to find a solution together. So that is the element of creating opportunities of standing on the same side of the wall and then looking on the other side of the wall and together share a perspective. I find it's usually the best way forward, because you can learn something from the other person, and the other person can maybe reduce their animosity or their anger.
In terms of being, the CMO of Vista, such a large aviation company, how do you, well, first of all, what are the major responsibilities that you have? And I guess, secondly, how do you preach what you say, I guess?
So Vista is the largest charter operator in the world right now. So we do have a fleet of 360 aircraft that we want to be flying every single day. That is ultimately my task, right? It's coming up with ideas to say to people, we have a fleet, we would like you to fly with us. What can we do to convince you that we are the right partner for you to do so? So the task there is to, of course, create awareness for the brand. Private aviation is a very niche product that only caters to a very, very small pool of people, because the price point is incredibly high. And the task for us is to create a message that is relevant for the people who fly, not to everyone, not to overextend ourselves. So we are a very private type of product in the sense that we don't want to be a mass brand. And the difficulty there, of course, is to find those moments where we are also relevant. A private jet is not something you look for on a daily basis. Most people select a partner and stay with that partner for 2 to 5 years. So it's not something that happens. It's not a decision that happens overnight. It's not a decision that happens every day either. So the frequency and the complexity of making a choice on a product that can cost millions of dollars is a very well considered one, right? So for us, the task is to remain top of mind, so that when the person is ready to make a decision, you are there. To state why we are different from the current solution, and possibly to relieve and release moments and memories that will make people want to stay with you longer. So it's a nice mix of keeping the business going on a daily basis, so super short term, but at the same time, longer term, because decisions can happen in a very short amount of time, but only a certain intervals of time. So that is the biggest task that I think makes marketing in private aviation different from marketing for FMCG, for example.
So you mentioned about how tough your task is. I wonder how you spend time brainstorming ideas, because you do need private time, personal time to brainstorm ideas. At least I do. So how do you do that?
I speak with my team. Whenever I enter the room, they try to run away, but I know we manage to.
That's why people want to work from home nowadays.
With me and throwing questions out there. On average, I think the team is used to coming up with about 100 ideas a week, out of which we actually deliver to completion 5, 6 maybe. Because without throwing ideas up in the air and accepting that some of them are going to disappear into thin air because they're not relevant, because we cannot find the right tonality. So you need to be able to generate ideas, but also let them die, right? If they're not right now, you can't hold on to your ideas for fear of not having another one. There will always be another observation. So I think the biggest task for me is to keep the team asking themselves questions. And that is the difficult part in every job, is not becoming repetitive. The moment you become repetitive, you are mechanic. And then at that point, authenticity disappears because you forgot why you went about something. And the moment you forget why, how did this start? That is the moment when you immediately become detached and you become corporate. You don't feel the person behind the job. You don't feel the person behind the message. You don't feel the person behind the idea. And that is when you lose the authenticity and you become prosaic and repetitive.
So I wonder what some of the recruitment criteria for Vista. I guess, you know, because you mentioned authenticity, that's, you know, one of them. But I'm guessing, you know, what's in it for people to join and what kind of people you recruit?
So the people that join Vista are a bit of a special breed. First, they need to be entrepreneurial. They need to have this ambition to do better than anybody else in the team in a constructive manner. So just, but people who are not satisfied with what they find around themselves, and they're not satisfied with what they did the day before. One thing we like doing here is to celebrate and move on to criticizing ourselves. So we take a moment to say, wow, this was fantastic. So next time I will not do it again. I'll do it completely different, right? And taking pride in that. And that is why we have quite high loyalty, because you don't get bored. You can't get bored if every day you are happy for what you've done and ready to restart, right? It's the famous sentence, wake up stupid every day. Every morning you wake up, you look into the mirror and go, I don't know who that person is. I don't know what that person can do. Let's go out and discover it. That is the best way to continue. So we want people who are entrepreneurial, who are positive, because ultimately we will not be able to solve out every single potential problem we find today. You need to be happy with trying hard and solving 90% of it. And then the next day you'll solve another 10% and then another 10%. So resilience is critical, and not being easily taken down if something is not solved on the first time you try. So that is the other big, big trait, right? So, and the last piece, of course, is being very collaborative, because we're 5,000 people. Nobody can expect to be able to achieve something beginning end to end on their own. So how to work with other people, stimulating them, but also learning from them on the path. So that is the other trait that I always look for.
So just lastly, before we end the interview, I'm interested in knowing how you find meaning from work and how you help others find meaning from work aside from money.
Money has never been the thing. I changed job a lot of times. It was never for money. I changed job when my brain was not stimulated enough. That is why, to me, having this constant strive for innovation, which is meaningful innovation, is the lead thing. And to me, the people say, oh, you're always about the bottom line. I said, the bottom line demonstrates that we are preferred. And if we are preferred, it's because we tried harder to create something that did not exist before and that is out there to be liked. Ultimately, for me, the biggest satisfaction is when customers are happy. And when they smile, because that means that we hit the jackpot. We did something that was right for them, and which means we did a good job. And when you feel like you've done a good job, that's when you want to do it again.
What do you think is in it for people to join? Because, you know, if I'm a candidate, I look at the Vista brand, I might think, oh, I'd be involved in the private jet industry. But what do you think is maybe like an even higher purpose, if I can say that? Like, what's in it for people to join, you think, aside from the money or like the passion?
As an industry, we connect people and countries to do business, right? It's a business tool.
Yeah.
So if you are into the world of infrastructures, into the world of creating opportunities, but also capturing opportunities, I think that is the very exciting part. We are always looking for windows of opportunities and generating windows of opportunities for our clients, or helping them capture those moments and those trains that pass by and they need to capture in a second. and we have such a specific product to do that, that it is a bit of a blessing to be able to work on something that can really make a difference in a lot of big leaders' lives.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Matteo, and I'll be sure to include Vista's career page and relevant links on the description for people who might want to apply or even learn more about the brand. So, you know, thanks again for coming up, and, you know, wish you all the best.
Thank you, Adrian. My pleasure. Have a good day.